Welcome to Canvas Church. You are listening to our weekly celebration service message. Thank you for tuning in.
Good morning. How are you guys doing today? Fantastic. Hey, if this is your very first time here, I want to let you know a couple of things. First of all, this is not mood lighting we have right now. It's normally a little bit brighter in here than this. And so I don't know if you can see me, but there is a human up there talking to you. Oh, there it is. The let there be light. Open the eyes. You should be on the worship team. Come on. The next thing I want you to know is we like to have fun in church. Anybody like to have fun in church?
Yeah.
That was kind of weak. Come on, somebody like to have fun in church? Yeah. We're in church. We're in the praying. You know, the Bible says that in the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy. That's actually a verse. In other words, that's a promise of God's word that when we're in his presence, there's joy in his presence. Another one of the promises in God's word is this, is wherever two or three are gathered together in his name, there he is. Look around. There's more than two or three, which means the presence of God is here, which means, come on, there's joy in the house. Hey, the other thing I want you to know, if this is your very first time here, in the seat pocket in front of you, we have one of these things right here. It might be off to the left or the right. And if this is your first time joining us, we would love to connect with you if that's what you would like to have happen. And so inside of there, there is a thing called the connection card. You can pull that out, fill it out, take it to our new here kiosk out there, drop it off there, and we have a free gift for you. Or if you'd like to do it digitally. Let me ask this question right now, because I was having a great conversation with somebody a couple weeks ago about how we here at Canvas Church, we drive everybody to our app, like on your phone. But how many of you guys here right now just like you're bucking the 21st century and you don't like tech and you like to go paper? Anybody like the paper stuff? All right, we got some paper people in here. Okay, well, good news for you paper people. You can do it this way right here. But for all you tech people, you can just text the word new to 858-943-2221 and let us know you're here. Here's what's going to happen. We're just going to send you some information about how you can take your next step here at Canvas Church. And here's what I want you to know right up front. You can take that next step at whatever pace you want to take it. All right? And so we're just going to give you, here's the information. Here's the next step you can take. And when you're ready to take that next step, take the next step. One of those next steps is Kathy already highlighted it. It's our growth track coming up on Saturday. If you want to find out more about the church, or maybe if you're like, I want to get involved in the church, come next Saturday, 9:30. No, it's 9 to 11:30. 9 to 11:30. All that information is on the website. And let there be no light. There it is again. We'll get you connected and kind of fill you in with who we are and what's happening here at Canvas Church. And so glad you're here today. Want to highlight one more thing before we jump into the message today. And that is this past Tuesday night, we had our youth night. I've been asked a lot lately, hey, do you have stuff for young people? And I want you to know something. Yes, we have an incredible youth ministry for young people here at Canvas Church. And man, they have their whole system set up on the third Tuesday of every month. We have their own worship night. And this is the cool part about that, is that like 60% of the worship team right now is all young people for that night. Come on.
Yeah.
We're getting to the place where it's going to be 100%. How many guys would like to hear that youth worship team on a Sunday morning?
Yeah.
Awesome. And so, you know what? I'm going to be talking to Jeff and Christy, say, hey, why don't we do a youth worship morning, and they lead worship for the church. Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah.
But on the third Tuesday of every month, man, they get together, and I had the privilege of preaching to them that night, and I just want you to know, I had so much fun. I was a youth pastor for 12 years, and I had so much fun speaking to the young people. It was awesome. Matter of fact, I might take that message and bring it to you here over the next couple weeks, because it was that fun. It was fun. And in case you haven't noticed, right up here, we have some core values of our church. Right here, we're in this series entitled, This Is Us. And this series is really all about the church. First part is going to be about what the Bible says the church is. How many guys like to know what the Bible says the church is, right?
Yeah.
You can attend a lot of different churches in our city, and you can walk away with a lot of different ideas of what really is the church. And so we're going to take a biblical look at the church. This is who the church is called to be. This is who the church is. But then on the second half of that, we're actually going to talk about some of these things right here. Who Canvas Church is. Who has God called us to be here in the city of San Diego? And one of those things that we have up here is fun. All right, and that's why I asked this morning, hey, you guys having fun in church? And some of you didn't raise your hand. I'm like, you in the wrong church then, right? Because we like to have fun in church. And so, you know, it's okay to laugh in church. It's okay to smile in church. It's okay to nudge your neighbor in church. If they're falling asleep, wake them up. All right, whatever you need to do. But we're going to have fun today. You guys want to have fun today?
Yeah.
Awesome. Grab your Bibles then. Whether you are the paper person, awesome. Oh, one thing I want to let the paper people know is somebody came to me and said, hey, like, I noticed that you guys are super techie here. And I'm like, we are? Like, I didn't. I don't see our church as super techie, but we are. She goes, yeah, like everything you do is on the app. Like your notes are on the app. And she's like, you know, I just prefer to write things down. Could you provide the notes that you have on the app, some paper? And so, you know, starting the first Sunday of October, we're going to have some paper stuff for the paper people, okay? Paper people, are you happy? Come on, now they're smiling. They're like, yeah, fun in church. All right. John chapter 2. We're going to go to John chapter 2, and we're going to continue the beginning of our series, This Is Us. Last week, man, we had an incredible time last week right here on Sunday morning. I'm talking, man, I didn't even get through my message. There's 4 points. I got through one of them. Man, the presence of God showed up. People were getting healed at the altar. It was really cool stuff. And the reason I'm highlighting that is because that's the church. That's a church. When the presence of God shows up, it's not that there's the fullness of joy. The Bible says everything you need is right there at His right hand. And man, some people came forward and they needed healing. We prayed, and I talked to them this week, and they got healed. That's pretty cool. Amen. That's pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
If you're sitting here right now and you're like, I need some healing, good, you're in the right place, because we believe that God is a God who heals. Amen?
Amen.
And so we started off in John chapter 2 last week, read 11 verses. Going to read those same 11 verses today, give us some context, kind of catch us up from last week. I'm going to try to complete the message I started last week today. John chapter 2, starting in verse 1. And this is a great story because it's the first miracle Jesus did that's recorded in Scripture. So from our vantage point, we have to, and it actually says, and this is the first one. So from our vantage point, we got to believe, okay, this is the very first miracle because it says it, because it's the first one recorded in Scripture. But here's what you need to understand. When you study Scripture, as a pastor, when I study Scripture, there's this principle called the first mention principle. And when it's mentioned for the very first time, there's something there that carries so much weight. And I believe that we're going to see that today, and as we go through this series, This Is Us. And it reads, verse 1, it says, on the third day, a wedding took place in Cana of Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples crashed the wedding. It doesn't say that, but I was kind of thinking in my mind, you know. Because it says Jesus' mother was there. It's almost like Jesus and the disciples tagged along. Come on, any wedding crashers in here? Don't raise your hand. So Jesus and his disciples, they were invited to, okay, it says they're invited, to the wedding as well. When the wine ran out, Jesus' mother told him, they don't have any wine. I want to pause there for a moment because a couple of things I want to catch us up on from last week is this, is that a marriage in Scripture, Jesus uses that image of a marriage between a man and a woman as a picture over and over again of himself and the church.
Yeah. Okay?
So in other words, the greatest symbolism we still have today of what Jesus' relationship with the church looks like is a marriage, is a wedding. And so Jesus takes this analogy over and over again in Scripture and say, hey, just like the husband, that's Jesus, and then the bride, that's the church, come together. That's a beautiful imagery of what this relationship is to look like. And so here we are at a wedding. So I want to highlight that because we are the church. Now, not just Canvas, but we are an expression of the church globally, right?
Right.
In this local setting right here where Canvas right. gathers together, we're a part of this beautiful church. And here we are at a wedding. I believe there's so much symbolism in here and so much that he's actually setting some things up for the church, and we're going to see that. The other thing we see is that Jesus turned water into wine, right? Now, I just read that and nobody said anything. That's a miracle, ladies and gentlemen, right? Like a miracle just took place. Like he took water, and we're going to see where they got the water from. And he took water and he turned it into wine. That is an absolute miracle, right? So two things I want to highlight there. First is this, wine in Scripture is symbolic of the Holy Spirit and the presence of God, right?
Yep.
Now you heard me say it earlier, where the presence of the Lord is the fullness of
joy,
okay? So here's what we can gather then from this information we have so far, is that they are at a wedding. Man, that's a great image of the church and Jesus. Pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
Right. So now we're sitting on the edge of our seat. He's got something for us. But then we see that the wine ran out, which is symbolic of the presence of God, right? The Holy Spirit, which brings joy, but now it's gone. So we can assume now that the party's wrapping up and it's over, right?
Right.
But I love what the mother of Jesus does, Mary. She says, hey, I don't want the party to be over. Yeah. Come on.
Right on.
How many of you guys don't want the party to be over?
Yeah. No.
Come on. How many of you guys are staring down at a circumstance right now in your life? That you are looking at something, and really, if we put it this way, man, it just depletes you of joy. right? There's something going on. It could be a relationship. It could be a job, right? I mean, to me, there's nothing worse than showing up to your job that you don't like and it just sucks your joy, right? I don't know what it is, but you're looking at a circumstance and a situation right now, and you're looking at it. It feels like, man, it's closing time. Man, it's over. Man, there's no joy in this anymore. I want you to know something, that God has a word for you today, and the party isn't over yet. The party isn't over yet. And we're going to see right here what begins to take place, and you're going to begin to glean something from this, because no matter what you're looking at, you feel like it's over when you get Jesus into the scenario. Come on, when you get the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords into the picture, it ain't over until he says it's over. Amen?
Right.
And so here is Mary now, and she says, look at it now. She says, they don't have any wine. Jesus, verse 4, replies, what has your concern of yours to do with me, woman? And we kind of talked a little bit about that. Like, don't talk to your mom that way.
Yeah.
Jesus can. He's Jesus, but... Jesus said this. Now you got to catch this, highlight this. He says, my hour has not yet come.
Right.
So Jesus understood what was being asked of him. And he says, no, it's not my time. And I love Mary's response. Mary's response, she just ignores her son. Turns to the servants and the disciples and says, hey, do whatever he tells you to do. And I have to think in that moment that Mary, the mother of Jesus, had to know something about his son.
Yep.
Her son, right? Like he hasn't done any miracles yet. She hasn't seen any miracles, but I believe she remembered a promise a long time ago.
There you go.
When she was about 16 years old and she was engaged to a man named Joseph.
Yep.
And they weren't married yet. And the angel showed up and hovered over and began to speak to her and said, man, you're going to be impregnated by the Most High, and the son that's going to be conceived in you, he's going to be named Jesus, and he's going to be the Savior of the world, and they're going to call him Emmanuel, God with us. I have to think that for some 30 years, Mary was holding on to that promise.
Yeah.
And for some reason, in this wedding, at this place, she just felt in her spirit. I remember what that angel said. I remember the promise of that angel. And you know what? I think it's time. Yeah. Are you with me?
Yes.
I want you to know something. There is something so powerful about holding on to the promises of God. There's something so powerful about no matter what your circumstance looks like, no matter if you're waiting for me to get to the preaching part, I'm already there. Are you with me? There's something so powerful about holding on to the promises of God. Something so powerful about, God, I haven't seen it yet. Now, I haven't seen it materialize yet. But you know what? I remember that one day at youth camp when I was 16 years old. And that summer, and you showed up. Man, and God, you gave me a word. And although I haven't seen it yet, I'm still holding on to it.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
Hold on to the promises of God. And here she is in this moment. And she just turns to the disciples and the servants and says, hey, do whatever he tells you to do. Verse 6. Now, 6 stone water jars had been set there for Jewish purification. What is that? That's just it was really just a tradition of the Jews. And they would go and wash their hands and their plates and pots and different things. It was just this tradition thing. And each one contained about 20 or 30 gallons. Verse 7, Jesus said, fill the jars with water. Jesus told them, so they filled them to the brim. I like that. If we can get there today and I can get through my message, we'll talk about that. He said to them, now draw some out and take it to the chief servant. And they did. When the chief servant tasted the water after it had become wine, he did not know where it came from. Though the servants who had drawn the water knew, he called the groom and told him, everyone sets out the fine wine first, then after the people have drunk freely, the inferior. But you have kept the fine wine until now.
Yeah.
Verse 11, Jesus performed this first sign in Cana of Galilee. He displayed his glory and his disciples believed him.
Right on.
Come on.
Right on.
Do whatever he tells you
to do.
To do. Look at your neighbor and say, do whatever he tells you to do. Come on, look at your other and say, hey, hi, my name's so-and-so. Nice to meet you. Do whatever he tells you. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for your word. God, we thank you that your word is awesome. And God, I pray in the next few moments, God, that you would just, Lord, take this passage and cause it to just be so relevant in this place, in this hour, in this culture, in this church. God, I'm asking now that these words that I read, that you would just bring them to absolute life and light. And Lord, I'm praying for every person in this place that they would encounter Jesus, they would know your love, and they would understand the incredible plan that you have for their life. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
I remember not too long, actually it's actually been a while now, and some of you might have heard this story, but I feel like it's a good story to share this morning. Is my mom had moved down. Actually, I think she's been here now for 7 years. Has it been 7 years? Where are you at, Mom? It's been 7 years now. So this is about 7 years ago, actually. And my mom had moved down, and she was waiting for a place to open up, and so she lived with us for a little while. And my kids, obviously, much younger then, and they wanted to take Mom, to our grandma, to their favorite beach. Now, unfortunately, at that time, their favorite beach wasn't the ocean with waves, and they weren't surfing, all right? Their favorite beach was Mission Bay.
Oh!
Ugh, yeah, somebody knows what I'm talking about. It's like, that's not water, it's sewer, people. And so they loved it because it had no waves, and they loved to play in the sand, you know, and build sand castles. And so we would go there often. We lived in downtown at the time. So Grandma shows up, and they want to show Grandma all their favorite places. And so I remember the first time we took Grandma there 7 years ago, and Grandma just jumped in and started playing with them, building sand castles and all this stuff. And there happened to be this, like, little island when the water was out. They would create this little island, and they would love to go across the bay and get to this little island and build a sand castle out there. So they talked their grandma into this, and so grandma willfully did it. I don't know if it's willfully or if she was just voluntold by the children, but she went with them over there, and she built sand castles, had so much fun. It was such a great day. I still remember that day. It was so much fun. And then we packed everything up, and we headed back to our place in downtown. And as we were pulling up, I'll never forget, as we were pulling up, I just heard my mom go, like this shock of terror. And I'm like, I'm getting ready to do CPR. I'm like, are you breathing? What's going on, Mom? And I look over, and she just has this look on her face, like, and all of a sudden I see tears start to trickle. I go, Mom, what's wrong? And she looked down, and her wedding ring was gone. And it was only about a year, year and a half before this that my dad had passed away.
Oh, my God.
And so here now my dad is gone, and now she looks down, and the ring that she's had for some 51 years on that finger is gone.
Oh, no.
New season, just moved here. And she was just like, my wedding ring. And I was like, did you take it off? She's like, no. She goes, I think I lost it as we're building sandcastles.
Oh, my God.
And man, all of a sudden I just felt from behind. So my wife is in the back, this really big pinch. And now, for those of you who have been married, you can interpret your wife's nudges and kicks and pinches. Are you with me? Like, you just know what they mean, right? And I just felt this pinch from behind. I looked in the rearview mirror. We made eye contact. I knew exactly what she was saying. She was saying,
around.
You are going back and you're going to find that
Turn
ring.
Around.
She didn't even say a word. She just pinched me. And I was just nodding. She was like, get going.
Turn around.
Oh, man. And so we unload and whatnot, and so I'm like, get everybody inside, and I'm going to go back and look. And I'm driving. I kid you, I'm driving, and the whole entire time. Now, I'm a pastor at this time, and I had zero faith to find this ring. And I'm driving the whole entire time, and I'm telling God what's going to happen.
Right.
I'm like, God, I'm never going to find this thing. Like, the fact that I'm driving there, I'm just doing it sheerly to appease my mom and my wife so she stops kicking me and pinching me. Come on, somebody. But there's no way I'm going to find this thing. It's not going to happen. I get there, I get out, and I try to retrace the steps, and I look everywhere, and I go to a little island, build sandcastles, and I'm just the whole entire time, I'm looking, but I'm knowing that I'm not going to find it. And so I'm there for probably 45 minutes, I don't find the ring. And so I get back in the car, and I drive back, and I walk in, and my mom probably felt the same way I did. There's no way I'm going to find that ring. I walk in, I'm like, Mom, I'm sorry I didn't find it. And I look over and I see my wife standing there with that look. She's like, you're going to go back. You're going to look.
Yeah, go back.
Dang it.
Right on.
You go back and look. Woman.
I don't think so.
So sunset, it's nighttime. I sleep. The whole entire night I'm thinking, man, how am I going to just appease my mom? So I'll go back and look. I ain't finding this thing. Wake up in the morning. I think I better get there early before anybody's there, you know. And And so I get up, and I get my swim trunks on, and I'm thinking, I'm going to look in the water. I need some goggles. But the only goggles I could find were my kids' goggles. And they were little at the time, so they weren't even like adult-sized goggles, right? They were just like, you know? And so I'm like, I'm for sure going to get there before anybody else gets there. And so I get down to Mission Bay, and there are just tons of people doing their CrossFit stuff on the lawn. Like, you healthy people, stop it! People jogging on the boardwalk. I'm like, dang it. So I get out and I put these little itty bitty goggles on. And I'm still thinking the same thing. I'm thinking, man, there is no way I'm going to find this ring. So I look in the sand again. I go out and I'm just kind of swimming around in the water or the sewer or whatever. And I'm just swimming around looking. And I get out the island. I'm like, there's nothing there. And I look around one more time. And I just look up. And I was like, God, look, I'm never going to find this unless you tell me where it's at. Yep. And as soon as I said that, a voice said, stop. Turn to your left. Walk 3 paces and look down.
Hallelujah.
And at that point, I had nothing to lose. You know, I'm like, all right. So here I am, all 6'6" of me with these little bitty kid goggles on, people jogging by. Look at the weirdo. So I turn to the left, I walk 3 paces, and I stick my head in the water, and I look down, and there is the ring sitting right there in the bag.
Yeah!
Woo! And so I do what every good Christian does. I come out of the lawn like, yes! I knew I would find it! Right? I was like, yeah! I'm in the water, waist deep, little goggles. And I'm like, yeah! And I look at all the people that were calling me. We were like, oh my God. Like, call somebody. Dude has lost his mind. And I'll never forget, man. I brought that ring home and I walked in. My mom's looking at me. And all of a sudden, I hold it out like this. And she literally almost passed out. I had to catch her. Like, she was so overcome with, like, oh my gosh. Like you found the ring. But you know something? In that moment, I would have never found the ring. I would have never came into that miracle unless I did exactly what he told me to do.
Yes.
I would have never found that thing. But because I was willing, finally, to say, God, I'm not going to do this unless you speak to me. Yes. And I paused long enough to hear him speak and did exactly what he told me to do. Yes. Man, the miracle materialized.
Right.
See, some of you are waiting on a miracle for God. You are calling out to God, say, God, what a miracle. I want this to happen. God's trying to speak to you and trying to get you the information so that the miracle can take place, but you're not listening. Uh-huh. And what we need to do as the church, listen to me now, what we need to do as the church, this is the call of the church, ladies and gentlemen. This is us. This is the church of Jesus Christ. It is not on us to decide what the church does and what the church looks like. It is on us as the church to call upon the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Heaven and do exactly what he's telling us to do.
Yes.
Are you with me this morning?
Yes.
that is the job of the church. But see, I feel like in our culture, the job of the church has changed. Like we think like okay, I'm going to start a church and we're going to be super culturally relevant. Listen, the Bible doesn't need you to be culturally relevant. The Bible is culturally relevant all by itself. All we have to do as the people of God, as the church, is just say, hey, here's what the Bible says.
Yes.
Are you with me?
Yes.
That's the church. It's that simple.
Yes.
And Mary knows that. And last week we covered, if you're taking notes and you're seeing a blank there and your first time here, the first blank is this. We can move the hand of God.
Yes.
We can move the hand of God. We talked about it last week. Listen to what Jesus says. Jesus says, my time has not yet come. Mary says, I don't care. We need a miracle right now.
Yeah.
Do what he says to do. He says, look, it's not my time. Listen to me. You can move the hand of God through prayer.
Yeah.
And she does. She simply moves the hand of God. Point number two is this. Do whatever he tells you to do.
Yep.
Now the job of the church is to pray and move the hand of God. God does nothing here on earth except through invitation.
Yes.
And it is the job of the church. Man, we might get to it next week. It is the job of the church to pray.
Yes.
And it is through prayer that the hand of God moves. Now listen to me. Prayer is not a magic wand. Right. You say, hey God, here's what I really want done. I'm going to pray. There it is.
Come on.
No, prayer is us humbling ourselves, coming humbly and boldly before the throne of mercy and grace. And humbling ourselves before Him and saying, God, here I am, whatever you want to do, I want to be a part of it, use me.
Yes.
See, some of us come into our prayer moments trying to align God's will with our will. That is not the goal of prayer. The goal of prayer is to surrender your will under His will.
Right. Yes.
And through that, man, God begins to move.
Yeah.
Because He has vessels He can move through. Mm-hmm. But here we see the second principle here in this story, and that is this. Do whatever He tells you to do. I love it. I mean, it's literally that simple. She just sees this like, hey, grab the line. Like, what does that have to do with me? I'm going to move your hand, son.
Right.
She turns and says, sir, hey, do whatever He tells you to do. Yeah. And look what happens. Yeah. She steps out of the picture.
Yep.
When you begin to do whatever God tells you to do, you are stepping yourself out of the picture and you are saying, God, shine.
Yes.
God, let your kingdom come. God, let your will be done. Do whatever He tells you to do. As a church, we must do whatever He tells you to do. Now, I want you to notice this. In this, she literally demonstrates what every pastor and what every leadership team of the church should be doing, and really what every believer should be doing. What does she do? She points to Jesus.
Yep.
Do whatever He tells you to do. Do whatever He tells you to do. Listen, man, we just got back from a retreat with our executive leadership team. We have an incredible leadership team at our church. People with years more knowledge and experience and wisdom than myself. And man, just a great team that, man, and I want you to know something. This team loves you.
Yes.
This team loves the church.
Yes.
And I went up and I had my list of things I wanted to talk about and go through. And you know what we did? We prayed. We worshiped. We cried. We prayed. We worshiped, we cried, man, the prophetic anointing flowed, man, a new song was written on the spot, we're worshiping to it, man, it was powerful, and we prayed for you. And here's the goal of our leadership team. The goal of our leadership team is not say, hey, come to us, we can give you wisdom. The goal of Canvas Church and the goal of this leadership team has always been and always will be, look to Jesus.
Yeah.
The author and finisher of your faith.
Yes.
Look to Him. Do what He tells you to do.
Yeah, amen.
But unfortunately in our culture, you know what people want? People want a king.
Yeah.
People want somebody they can see that will tell them what to do.
I
love counselors. I think counselors, especially biblical Christian counselors, have a place in the church and a place in culture. But listen to me, there is an epidemic in our culture that says, I can't do anything unless I have a counselor. Listen, you have a counselor. It's the Holy Spirit, and He lives inside of you. And the Bible says He will lead you and He will guide you in all truth. Listen, the goal of our church is not to say, hey, look, I got the answers. I don't got the answers. I possess the tool that does have the answers. It's called the Bible. Our goal is the church. Listen, the goal of the church is not to say, come to us, we got the answers. The goal of the church is saying, come to Jesus.
Yeah.
He's got the answers. He's the way, He's the truth, He's the life. No one gets to the Father except through Him.
Right on.
And Mary says, hey guys, I just moved the hand of God. I'm going to step out of the picture now. Do whatever He tells you to do. Do what Jesus tells you to do. Which begs the question, what is Jesus telling us
to do?
Right? Well, what is Jesus telling us to do? Listen to me now. This is how easy it is. And here's the thing. When God speaks, too oftentimes we try to interpret it. He speaks every language on the planet, including stupid.
Right, exactly.
That's why I can hear
him. Yep, me too.
He speaks every language on the planet. He doesn't need an interpreter.
No, he doesn't.
He doesn't. I mean, here's what happens too oftentimes, right? God shows up and he's speaking to you in that still, small, quiet voice. He's like, hey, you know what? I really want you to go minister to the homeless. And what do? You interpret that. You know what? Campus Church really needs a homeless ministry.
Yeah, right.
Is that what he said?
No.
No, but that's what we interpret it, right?
Right.
Let's see, you come like, hey, do you guys have a homeless ministry? Nope. Oh, that's too bad. Why? Well, because I really feel like God's saying I'm supposed to be a part of a homeless ministry. Well, if he's saying that, hey, go start the homeless ministry.
Yep. Yeah. Exactly.
God shows up and says, hey, I want you to go to Africa and be a missionary. And you're like, man, I wonder what missionary in Africa I can give some money to.
Nice.
Wow.
Right?
Yep.
Like we interpret, like I think this is what God is saying. Now, God speaks every language.
Yep.
And what he said to you is what he meant to say.
Yes.
Is somebody with me this morning?
Very clear.
But we sometimes seem to take things through a filter of, man, God, what are you saying? God, what are you saying? Man, let me just say, move to Africa, be a missionary. He's saying, go minister to homeless people. Oh, it's getting quiet. Do whatever he tells you to do. You know, obedience is the greatest key that you can have in this journey. Just obey him. Obey what he's saying. You see, once again, I feel like the fear in our church culture is that we have to have the set man telling us, is this okay for me to do?
Right.
What did Jesus say to you? What did the Holy Spirit say to you?
Right.
Well, he said to do them, do that.
Right.
To do that. And obedience is such an incredible key. Matter of fact, 1 John 2, 3 and 1 John 5, 2 would tell us, we know him if we obey his commands. We know him if we obey his commands. Not if we show up in church and worship.
Nope.
Unless we're obeying his command to do so.
Obedience.
Not just coming and sitting in a 9 o'clock or a 10:30 service. Man, it's if we obey what he's telling us to do. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. Listen to me, he's God. He doesn't need you to interpret it. He just needs you to move forward in action and begin to do it. That's it. I mean, his ways are not our ways. The Bible says his thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are higher. Man, his thought, man, just go do it and watch and see. And here's something you need to understand, though, is that sometimes what he's asking you to do might not make sense at the moment. Right?
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily make sense at the moment. I can only picture in that moment that the disciples and the servants are there. They hear the conversation. They're like, oh, snap. Right? Like, whoa, what's going on there? What does your concern have to do with me, woman? Whoa! Right? And then Mary's like, son, right? Do whatever he tells you to do. And they're like, all right, what's he going to tell us? And he says, hey, you see those stone water pots over there? Yeah. Go fill them up with water. They're out of wine, Jesus. Like, I can just see the huddle, right?
What it must have felt like, yep.
Yeah. It's probably the same huddle you guys do, right? When God speaks. Like, what's he really saying? Yeah. They get together in their huddle. Guys? Yeah? Did you see that argument between Jesus and... Yeah. It was a discussion. Okay. All the married people know what I'm talking about. Oh, that was just a discussion. They're out of wine, and Jesus wants us to go get water. Like, I know we've been following him for a little while, but I think this might be time
to leave. Yep.
Right? And see, we look at this story, and we're like, okay. Water, wine, what? Like, what's going to happen? But how many times in your spiritual journey, when God speaks to you, whether on a Sunday morning through a vessel called a pastor, or on Monday or Tuesday morning when you're in your devotions, or whether you're just driving and that still small voice speaks to you, and you're just kind of like, what?
Yeah.
Like, this doesn't make sense. You want us to go get water, but they need
wine.
Yeah. Ever been there before?
Yeah.
God, this don't make sense. You want me to do what?
Right. Yep.
Well, what's he speaking to you right now?
I listened.
Because here's the thing, oh, it's easy for you to say, Jesus. You're not the one going to get the water and carrying it. You're just telling me to do it. If it doesn't turn out right, I'm the one that's going to look like an idiot. Right? What does the Bible say? The Bible says they go and they grab the pots. And they fill them up with?
Water.
Water.
To the brim.
Six pots used for traditional purposes. Fill them up with water. And now watch and see what I'm going to do. Why the pots? Why the water? There are six pots, six representing the number of man. And they are clay pots, meaning they were made by man. And there's six of them, the number of man. And he says, I want you to take that man-made thing. I want you to take that thing that's representative of man. And I want you to fill it up with something I made. I made the water. You didn't make the water. And I want you to take that water and I want you to put it inside that vessel. And when that water goes in that vessel, it might look like water for a little while, but pretty soon it's going to turn into a miracle. Pretty soon it's going to turn into wine. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. God is still looking for the same thing today. He is looking for vessels that would allow His presence to come in and fill them up. And when His presence hits your humanity, watch out. Anything is possible. He takes those, they take those pots and they fill them up with water. They take the God stuff and put it inside the man stuff. And the God stuff, when it hits the man stuff, God begins to do a miracle.
Right on.
God begins to work a miracle. Listen to me, it hasn't changed today. It is still when divine sovereignty connects with human responsibility that a miracle begins to take place.
Yes.
God's stuff gets in the man's stuff. Listen, he's looking for the same thing today. He's looking for vessels that would say, hey, here I am. I'm just clay. I'm just an earthen vessel. Man, but I believe there's something so significant for our church here today. So significant for Canvas Church. I believe God could take this theater, ladies and gentlemen. This theater that is used for so many other purposes. Listen, I pray for the day we get a building, but we ain't waiting for the building for a move of God.
Hallelujah.
We're going to take what God has given us, and we're going to take this theater that is used for so many purposes throughout the week, and we're going to say, God, look at the seats. Fill it up. God, you know, worship. God, fill us up. And I believe that God could reach not hundreds, but thousands of people right here out of this theater if we just do what He's telling us
to do.
Amen. Are you with me today?
Yes.
Do what He's telling you to do. I still have two more points, and I only have 4 minutes. How many guys want me to finish it today or wait till next week? How many guys want me to finish it today?
Finish it!
How many guys want me to wait till next week? Nobody raised their hand. Like, is that your question? Like, I did come to the early service because football season. Hello. Chad, don't worry. Your fantasy team's going to lose to mine today. So. Listen to me. If we take our humanity to Him,
yes.
Say, God, here we are. Mm-hmm. Reminds me of 2 Kings chapter 4.
Oh, man.
2 Kings chapter 4, there's a great, great passage, the first couple of verses there. The prophet of God shows up, and Elijah, and he's like, hungry. He asks this widow, hey, could you make me something to eat? She says, look, I have nothing except for this small vat of oil. It's almost gone. And I was just gonna make a couple of cakes for me and my sons, and then we're gonna eat it and we're gonna die. Talk about joy being gone. And he says, you know what, now let's do this instead. I want you to go find every vessel you can. Go ask your neighbors, go ask friends, whatever, get them. Okay, do whatever he tells you to do. So the Bible says, her sons go and find all these vessels. They bring these vessels and that. He takes that oil, he keeps filling up all these vessels. Listen, the oil stopped when the vessels stopped.
Yeah. Yep.
God's into people.
Yes, He is.
God's into vessels.
Yep.
God's into people, church.
Yeah.
Listen to me, the minute our church starts getting complacent and content with where we're at, the minute we as the church, we are the church, start getting complacent and content with where our church is cool. It is. I like it. Now we got, yeah, we're good. Listen to me. Is the minute his presence stops.
Yep.
Why? Because God's in the people.
Yes, he is. Yes,
that's right.
God's in the people.
Yep. Saving.
What's our job? Just go get the vessels.
Yes.
The seals, clay pots? Go grab them.
Yep.
That's it? Yeah. Now fill them up with what? With me.
Yeah.
Just do what you can. Give them the word.
Yep.
Point them to Jesus.
Yep.
Point them to the love of God.
Yes, exactly.
And at some point, listen to me, at some point, we don't know what point, at some point, come on, something is going to happen inside of that vessel.
Exactly.
Something is going to happen inside of that vessel. The Bible says they go and they get them and they fill them up. But listen to what he says. The Bible says, it says they fill them up to the
brim.
They don't just fill them and be like, okay, there's, you know. No, the Bible says that they fill them to the brim. Why is that? Because if God said it's worth doing all the way.
Yeah. Right on.
That's good.
And if God says it's worth doing all the way. He didn't say fill them to the brim. He just said fill them up. He said, man, if God, if he's telling us to do it, let's do it. Let's go all the way. Let's not go half-hearted. Right. Listen to me. The church goes all the way.
Yes.
And the church is not a place that's half-hearted about the message of the good news of Jesus Christ. People, man, people come to me and say, man, why do you yell? I'm like, I'm not yelling. It's core value number 4.
Passion.
It's called passion.
Passionate. Yes. Yeah. Passionate.
See, what you interpret as yelling is just passion.
That's right.
I said last week, some of you are like, it's so loud. The worship's so loud. No, it's not. It's passionate.
Passionate. Yep. Passion for Christ.
Passion. Passion. Why? Because if it's worth doing, then it's worth doing all the way.
Yep.
And it's worth going all the way. Listen to me. There is not a day that goes by. And some people are like, Pastor, is it all about numbers? No, it's not all about numbers. But there are empty seats in this theater.
Right.
And I'm going to be preaching at 9 and 10:30, so might as well have maximum impact.
Yes.
Are you with me?
Yes.
We're going to be doing it anyway. Come on, this isn't the NFL. We shouldn't see an empty theater.
Right. Right on.
Come on, the only knee we take in is for Jesus. Come on, somebody.
Exactly.
Some of you are like, I don't watch football. Neither does half the nation now. It's okay. If it's worth doing, he said they fill it up to the
brim.
They don't hold back, man. Listen to me. Some of us, man, we in halfway. Oh, we in three-quarter way. Listen, you know what the church is? The church, man, is the greatest thing happening on the planet today.
It is
the call and the cause of Jesus Christ. It is what he is coming back for.
Yeah.
The Bible says he's coming back for his pure, spotless church, his pure, spotless bride. So why not? Let's just go all the way.
Yeah.
They fill it to the brim. They go all the way. They don't hold anything back. I love it. I love you. Know the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 16:9, the eyes of the Lord, worship team, come on up because you make me finish faster. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, the eyes of the Lord are looking to and fro throughout the whole earth.
Seeking.
Looking for those whose hearts are loyal.
Yeah.
So he can show himself
faithful.
Go all the way. Fill it up to the brim. I love this story so much because I think it's the picture of the church.
Yep.
We can move the hand of God. As the church, we can through prayer. As the church, man, we got to do whatever Jesus says. But as we're doing it, we got to go all the way. We got to fill it to the brim. Yep. Number 4, we need to keep walking to the master of the ceremony.
Yeah.
I love this passage, man. It's so good. Because we don't know at what point the miracle is going to take place. Our goal is just to walk in obedience. Listen, our goal is not to try to produce a miracle.
Right.
Our goal is not to try to produce a healing.
Right.
Our goal is not to try to produce a salvation.
Yes.
Our goal as the church, again, is to point to Jesus.
Yeah.
And do whatever he tells. What is he telling us to do? Can I just tell you this? Go to today. Just read 3 verses. Genesis 1, 26, 27, and 28. Because what God is asking the church to do hasn't changed since the beginning of time.
Yep.
Here's what he's asking the church to do. Be fruitful.
And multiply.
Multiply. and fill the whole earth. Yep. But pastor, what about my career? Be fruitful, multiply, fill the whole earth.
Yep.
But pastor, who am I supposed to marry? Be fruitful, multiply, fill the whole earth. But pastor, where am I supposed to live? Be fruitful, multiply, fill the whole earth. See, so I'm in the church's focus got off somewhere.
Yeah,
it
did.
The simple question is your life fruitful? Yeah. Good on you. Are you multiplying? Yeah, I got children. Good. It's not just talking about natural. It's talking about spiritual.
Right? Yeah.
Fill the whole earth. Fill the whole earth with what? His glory.
Yes.
His goodness.
Yes.
The message about him. Make him famous.
Yeah.
It hasn't changed since the beginning. It hasn't changed since the 26th verse of the first book of the Bible.
Right on.
What am I supposed to do? What's he saying to me? Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth.
Yep.
And then don't stop walking. Master of the ceremony. They said, take it now. Take it to the master. Keep walking towards him.
Yes.
Keep your eyes on him.
Yep.
Keep your eyes on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Yep.
And as you keep walking, at some point in your process,
the miracle will come.
At some point in your journey, that water.
Yep.
It's going to turn to wine.
Yes, miracle.
That circumstance
is
going to. God, we thank you so much, God, for your word today. God, we thank you for John chapter 2. And Lord, I lift up right now. Go ahead and stand to your feet, church. I lift up right now every person in this place. God, no matter where we're at in our journey, come on, if you just close your eyes for a minute, just shut out every distraction right now. I believe there's people here right now that you are depleted of joy and you needed to be in this service. And just by simply being in the presence of the Almighty God, joy is being restored to you right now. There's somebody here today that literally your eyes have gotten off of Jesus and your eyes have gotten on a vision of man. Listen to me. The only vision the church is promoting, man, it's not our next program. It's not our next building. It's not our next campus. It's not, no. Here's what we're promoting. We're promoting Jesus. And we look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And then he leads us in those directions. But there's some people here. Your perspective is off because your eyes have been taken off of Jesus. Your eyes have been put on something else. Today's your day to get your eyes back on Jesus. It's about him. Always has been. Always will be. And there's some of you here today that you've been filling yourself with the inferior. The story, when they finally get to the master of the ceremonies, the master of the ceremony says, man, you saved the best for last. Most times people have saved the inferior. He calls what they had been taking in as inferior. Some of you have been filling yourself up on inferior substances. And God would say today, that time is over. That season is over. It's time to receive true joy. It's time to receive true grace. It's time to receive true fulfillment in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Every eye closed, every head bowed. You're here today and you'd say, Ben, I'm far from Jesus. I'm far from Jesus, but today's your day. And you want to say yes to him. Just shoot your hand in the air right now, wherever you're at. Come on, you're far from him and you want to just come into him and come into his presence today. Hallelujah. Come on, you're here today and you would say, you know what, Ben, that person you're talking about that's depleted of joy, that's me. I've been going to church, but I ain't feeling no joy. Come on, right now, if that's you, just shoot your hand in the air. Come on, the Holy Spirit's going to get you right now. Joy is coming back to you right now in Jesus' mighty name. God, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you're doing. God, I pray for every person in this place that responded either with a hand or responded in their heart. God, I ask right now, Lord, that you would come and you would meet them right where they're at and give them what they need. And whatever that water is in their life, you would turn it to that miracle and you turn it to that wine. Restore joy in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thanks for coming today. Hey, I'm going to be right here for a few moments. If you need prayer for anything, I would love to pray for you. Some of our other pastors are going to be out in the lobby. If you have questions about the church, love to help answer those questions. But if you're here today,
thank you for joining us today. For more information, please visit our website at www.canvaschurchsd.com.